Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, today the Mind Power is going to be changing its costuming a little bit. We're going to be talking about fairy power, yes. And for those of you that have a love of the magical world of what you call nature spirits or energies, however you want to use your terminology, I think you're going to really enjoy my guest, Cindy McGonigal, out of Oregon, because she has put together a book called Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe Book. Cindy, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Donna. How are you?
I am doing wonderfully. Cindy, I really had to chuckle when I first saw your book. I want to fill my audience in on how I met you, because I met you here in the Seattle area at the Women's Show. And this was back the first weekend in March, and you had a vendor space, as I did, and we had the opportunity early one morning to chat. And you are a professional palmist, but you also are very much involved in different modalities. And you served me tea, and we had this wonderful conversation, and then I found out that you had a book, and you graciously gave me one so I could read it. And your perception and your experiences and what you have evolved through, you've got classes for children, you work with adults, you have an aspect of interaction with what I would say is a world that has been depicted in animation, in various books, in so many different things throughout the ages. And I would love for you to share with my audience, one, about how you discovered that you would be a palmist, and two, how did you become acquainted with the wonderful world of fairies?
Okay, well, those are two separate stories, so yes. Shall we start with Queen Dee's?
We can do that.
Okay, well, I have a background in horticulture. I studied that in college. And when I moved to the Northwest, I kind of found that I was between museum contracts. So I was out one day, and I was planting bulbs in my yard. It was fall, and I heard a voice. And the voice said, plant the bulbs in an arc pattern. And I had been trained in horticulture to always stagger bulbs. So I thought, this isn't me, but this is an unknown voice. Where's this coming from? So I started to investigate what kind of beings might be in my garden, and how do I get in communication with them. And my first book, Garden Notes from the Nature Devas, is all about my connection with a being known as the overlighting deva of your property. Everybody's property has one being of light, commonly known as a deva, commonly known as the overlighting deva, who is in charge with the energetics of your property. So I started working with this being of light, and I was told that I should plant certain plants in certain positions in my yard and that this would create healing energies for my property. And as I got more and more into metaphysics, I found out that you could actually communicate with fairies. So one day I was in my meditation, and I asked to hear the name of a fairy that wanted to be my friend. So I heard this name, and being human, I totally garbled it. And she told me that her name was to be called Queen Dee, as in diamond. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, my God, I am so lucky. I get to be a friend of a fairy queen. Little did I know what that meant. That meant a big responsibility. Mm-hmm. And at first, I wanted to keep things really secret because I thought with all my scientist friends and background from doing museum work that they would think I was nuts trying to communicate with a fairy. So I would sit on my deck, and I would open up to Queen Dee and ask if she had any messages. And I would, of course, I would journal out what I got. And she started giving me recipes, and I thought, and I wrote them out on note cards, and I thought, well, what's this for? You know, and of course I wanted to try them out. So also and most of the recipes that she gave me are the first part of my book, Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe Book, which are herbal teas. Mm-hmm. And they all have a magical purpose. And so I started to buy the herbs and grow the herbs, and I started to develop my friendship with Queen Dee. And when you enter the world of fairies, it comes from a direct connection with loving the earth. So if you're growing flowers, then you probably have fairies that want to interact with you. Queen Dee is the regional fairy queen of the greater Portland-Vancouver area. And there are normally lots of different kingdoms, fairy kingdoms. And she has a partner, and his name is King Elfinsol, or King E. And he is a mineral king. And he knows all about the energetics of the soil and minerals. They're not married, but they do work hand in hand together. Queen Dee's home, her home, is in the waterfall area of the Columbia River Gorge. The Columbia River is the river between the state of Oregon and Washington, and it's this beautiful area. And so are the waterfalls. And that's how I got to know Queen Dee.
Well, I think that if one, you know, somebody listening to this might say, well, I think you've got two dingbats here that are talking about this thing. But I'm trying to remember the name of the garden that two people started. And for the life of me, it's just, and I can see it in my head, and it's escaping me. But these people went and developed this garden. And
in Finhorn?
Yes, Finhorn. Thank you very much. I knew it, and I just...
Dorothy McLean? Uh-huh.
Yes. And their story is not unlike yours. They found, they used different terminology, but they said that there were these energies that they worked with, and they respected the energies. And when you go back into history, when you go back into Celtic history, old, old records that have been discovered, those people that have been very close to the earth will say these things. They will talk about it. And so much of it was understood by women generations ago. The men looked at it differently. The women were the guardians that typically were the ones, as you are, that working and interacting with the earth, they had this empathy and they had this respect and this understanding. And there are so many different points of record, whether it's passed down orally or it has been put in written format. Often they have been put in the form of stories to make it palatable. And when you think of the story, The Hobbit, there is so much in there about the fairies and the different life expressions in various worlds. It just fascinates me because here we are talking about quantum physics, different aspects of the same thing, but using different terminology to try to express various modalities. I think that's where we have our biggest challenge, is verbally being able to communicate the picture that we want. So I love the picture of Queen Dee on your book, because it's Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe Book, because Queen Dee doesn't look like something that's off of a Vogue magazine. And I, that's the first thing that I noticed. I thought, hey, this one's a little bit, she looks like a mature lady. She
yeah,
is not
in fact,
one of these belt size two. And I thought, this is cool. This queen's been around for a while.
Yeah, and Queen Dee told me how she wanted to be depicted. So when I hired the artist, Renee Yates, to actually do the illustration for me for this particular book, yeah, she told me she wanted to be that size with a beehive hairdo, you know, to have those beautiful wings and to be voluptuous. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mature,
and,
yes.
And mature. And I thought that was really interesting. Talk about your palm reading a little bit, because this is something that you are very knowledgeable about, and it is very interesting because there are not many palm readers. And I remember, just digressing for a minute, I picked up a book in a second-hand bookstore, and I don't know where it is right at the moment. It's not too far away from me. But it was a man that, as a scientist, studied palm reading, and he went into a prison. And he was able to identify certain trends and tendencies, and he went after this research as a scientist would go after it, using particular parameters and blind studies and all kinds of things. And his research was just amazing. And he did this, I think, in the early part of the 19th century. And he was so good at his palm reading that there were authorities that relied on him. They actually allowed him inside the prisons to do his research because they were intrigued with the results he was getting. How did you get into palm reading?
Well, it's kind of like what you just described. I was perusing some of the old bookstores when I was living in Denver and working at the Museum of Natural History. So on my lunch hour, I just go look at old books. Has been always fascinated with old books and symbolism and talismans and things like that. Mm-hmm. And ran across an old palmistry book that had been written in the 17th century, and I was fascinated with the associations of the lines and mm-hmm. the patterns. And, of course, at that time I was like 21, and so my hand hadn't developed that much. And so I had the major lines, you know, which is, if you look at your palm, everyone, the major line on the top of your inside of your palm, closest to your fingers, that's your heart line. And then the middle line, going across the middle of your palm, is your head line. And then, of course, your lifeline, closest to your thumb. But now, when I look at a palm, the line that fascinates me the most is your fate line. And your fate line usually runs from the bottom of your palm up to your middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking at all the artists that I worked with at the Museum of Natural History, their hands. And, of course, these people were very, you know, famous artists. And so I would look in their hands, and I would see all these patterns. I'd see all these little, what I call a star, which is an asterisk. And I would see these all over their palms. They'd be lined up underneath their index finger, you know, and I would, like, and I would think to myself, okay, if my palm could only look like their palm, I could be just as good as them.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at these and started thinking, there must be something to this art. You know, so I started memorizing some of the meanings in the book. I, of course, loaned that book out to somebody and never got it back. Until recently, about 5 months ago, I got that same book back. And it was a good thing I lost that book.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had all the negative connotations to palmistry, which is what, you know, sometimes when I'm reading out in a public setting like the Women's Show, people are afraid of palmistry. But the
mm-hmm.
kind of palmistry that I do is I listen, I look at your hands, and I actually feel an energetic feel about you, and I also listen to your angels and your guides that are coming in, and
mm-hmm.
they tell me what hidden talents and abilities you have to bring forth in this lifetime. And so, of course, I look at the symbols that I look for in a hand, which are, if you look in your hand, I look for triangles that are not on that lifeline, show me intuition. I look for stars that line up, especially next to your little finger and all the way down to the lifeline, that show me that you're really good with communication. And I especially focus on your ring finger, because the ring finger represents the sun. And those are usually talents that you are bringing forth in this lifetime.
Now, what's the difference between the right hand and the left hand?
Well, it depends on if you are right-handed or if you're left-handed. If you're right-handed, you're going to see the most line changes in the hand that you use all the time. That's the dominant hand. That's
mm-hmm.
the way I look at it. But I like to look at the hand that you don't use, because usually there are progressive symbols that are being lined up on the hand. And what I'm finding, what I really look for in a hand, if I could have the best hand in front of me, it would be stars. I look for five-pointed stars, and I look for six-pointed stars that are lined up onto the fate line and off to the Mercury line. Those show me your actual star alignment with the other planetary systems that are coming into our own awareness now, into our being, into our spiritual consciousness.
Palm reading, I think, when someone is as skilled at it as you are, is a wonderful tool because it can empower an individual substantially. And that is something that when you were doing the palm readings, you didn't ask a bunch of questions in the beginning, which I think for a lot of people, I think having been in this work for so long, it's been my observation that many times people think, oh, somebody's milking me for information. And that isn't the way you work. You
No.
give the information. You work like I do in a different modality, but you give the information first, and then there's a conversation that ensues. And I think that that's very, very good. But poem reading is not something that you find very often because it takes a good deal of time to learn and to be able to understand how you can work with it as an individual so that you can utilize it as a very efficient and effective tool. And I'm always intrigued with how when you can look at babies and you will find that they have very distinct patterns on their on the bottoms of their feet, on their little hands. It is fascinating. I just think it's wonderful the way we have these little road maps that we come in with. There isn't a human being that doesn't come in with that roadmap. And using it in the right way as a right tool, it really can empower a person very,
yeah.
very, very well.
I love reading for children because of that exact same fact. It's just truly amazing. They have all of these abilities. They have amazing intuition. They have all of these talents to be able to use their clairvoyance, their telepathy. You know, they can hear, they can see, they you know, I mean, it's they are artistic, they are musical. You know, they are the future doctors. They are our future. And I actually have a little palmistry kit that will be for sale pretty soon that goes hand-in-hand with my newest book that's not out yet.
Well, let's talk about your working with children, because you were just recently here in the Pacific Northwest, and you were doing a special class with children in a beautiful environment. You had the opportunity to use the garden of a person's home, which was just magical, you said.
We did a class called Fairy Doorways, and it's a class that I teach. The kids start off with a clay door that I've pre-made, and this time I put a little magic mirror in the door. And then the kids decorated the door with moss and jewels, and then I taught them how to listen to the messages from the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a couple of them at a time out to a tree. They put their little magic door, their elf door, against the tree. And this is how you do it. You simply open. First of all, you have to be connected through your heart to the kingdom. And we usually do that by starting with a fairy pledge. And a fairy pledge basically says that you are willing to be a caretaker of this earth and that you are here to help others to love the earth as well. And so when you're working with trees, you're working with the elves. And the elves are part of the fairy community. They do have wings. And they are usually kind of secretive. They don't usually appear for people. So that's why we use a little elf door, because they are super curious. They want to know what's near their environment. So I had the kids put their elf door down at the base of the tree. So you have to kind of crawl down and be, you know, so you can see inside the mirror, because you have to go through the mirror into the tree.
It's like an Alice in Wonderland special.
Well, it's actually you're merging your self with the energetics of the tree. So the first step is you would put your hand on the tree, and then you would say this phrase. You would say, I am, and then you'd state your name. By using the I am, you're connecting with your higher self. And then you state your name, and then you would just simply visualize going through that mirror into the core of the tree. And you'd ask the tree if the tree had a message for you. This is where you start to listen using your telepathic skills. Now, kids today get that right away. They don't question it. They're just totally open to receiving it. So we, at two at a time, with their hands on the tree, they'd say their names, and then we would go through the mirror down into the roots of the tree and ask the tree for a message. Of course, I can hear the message from the tree. So one at a time, I would ask each child, what did you hear? And then they would say what they heard. And it was so beautiful because I could hear the same message that they were receiving. You know, a message would be like, you're a shining star, or we love you. You know, they're simple messages that come directly from nature. And to watch the expression on the child's face is truly amazing because there's just that glimmer in their eye, and you can a smile on their face, and it's, and there's an excitement, you mm-hmm. know. But the tree also is excited. So I recommend to everybody, if you have a tree in your yard, go introduce yourself to the tree and just listen with your heart. Be open to receiving. It'll be the very first message or thought that comes across your mind after you say your name and that you want a message. So you have to be quiet after you mm-hmm. ask it.
Absolutely. There was a woman I interviewed, Jean Bullen, who had written a book about trees, and she's become what she calls a tree hugger. And she said there's always this wonderful reciprocal energy. And she is a woman that has a PhD of PhDs, very well educated, is at the United Nations, etc. Very, very fine woman. And she said that she has had a great opening towards understanding nature in a different way. And it had made such an impact on her. So I think that there is a resonance that is beginning to be heard by those that are willing to listen. And I think the younger generation especially is very receptive to the fact that we must be caretakers of this planet that we live on. This planet is a living thing. It is not just a ball of dirt that's got a little water on it and, you know, some floating islands here and there. No, this is energy, and it's expressing itself in so many different ways. And the trees have such a wonderful, wonderful gift that they bring. And there is that awareness that we need to honor that. So what you're doing with the children in a way is just so open and so appealing to them. And they're having such a good time with it. And some people might say, oh, well, this is ridiculous. This is fabrication. No, it isn't. When you can have that harmony and that empathy with nature, you may have another Luther Burbank. From the
exactly.
time he was a little boy, he would tell his parents the plants would talk to him. And that's written down. This is a man that was known all over the world. And they'd say, how could you discover these things? And he would say, the plants would tell me what they wanted me to do.
Exactly.
They would actually instruct him. And if you don't believe me, you have to read the story about Luther Burbank. Because
I love that
really,
story.
Oh, he's just an incredible man. And he knew Yogananda, and there were people that he would talk with, and nobody thought he was nuts. Because he came up with ways of producing food that benefited people around the world. And as a scientist, just an amazing man. But he was very quiet, very non-assuming. George Washington Carter did the same thing. He had that same kind of empathy. So when people like this that have had such a tremendous recognition by the world for what they have contributed say, take time to listen. Take time to just be quiet out of nature. You've got a magic here, and it is really magical because it takes you away from a lot of the noise and the discord that you have in everyday life. And it brings you back into a grounding, I think. Let's talk about some of these wonderful messages. By the way, for those of you listening, I'm talking with Cindy McGonigal. We're talking about her Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe book. Now, she was gracious enough to send me some teas, and each of the teas that she has, and you'll be able to order them from her if you so desire, but you can go to her website, CindyMcGonigal.com, and it's MCGONAGLA, and Cindy is spelled CINDY, and I'll be giving it to you again. But her teas each have a purpose in them, and she sent me a tea called Focus, which I'm sipping right now, and it's quite tasty. She has Uplift Tea, she has Luck Tea, she has Sharing Tea, she's got so many delightful things in here, and she's put the recipes in this book. And I thought that it would be just great to share a couple of them, but her book is just such a delight. Now, you talk in your book about ceremonial type of teas, Cindy, and you say you give exactly what you recommend with it, and there's a meditation of type that you have that you like to go along. But you've got an energizing tea, you've got
T for two. And what you've done with your little book is you've got some blank pages where if people want to make notes about whether they liked it, they didn't like it, if they had questions about something, it's great. But you've got a T for the seeker. You've got something that brings you creativity. I mean, all of these things. How long was it before you got all of these different recipes? This must have started back years ago.
Well, I started listening to Queen Dee in the early 90s, actually. And I wrote this book in 93. And it just kind of came together. Of course, I tried a lot of the recipes, and I'm still trying the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. When a fairy guides you the way that Queen Dee does, and by the way, she is known as a queen of the diamond fairies. And these are a special lineage of fairies who want humans for partners. So you can call on Queen Dee and ask for her to assist you with the assignment of a fairy to work with you. And the best way to do that is you need to be in like a meditative state. So fairies do not compete with you when you're on the go, driving around, doing whatever. You need to spend quality time in a garden because really their job is to help bring balance to the earth through flowers and trees and through being quiet and listening and giving up control in the garden. I know from going to school, they teach you this is what you do, this is how you do it. But really, when you start working with this kingdom, it's more about listening to what you're asked to do. And like any true friendship that develops over time, you're given little assignments. Now, when I was first working with Queen Dee, she'd give me fun assignments to do, and she still does. But she would give me, like, go to the nursery and buy pink and white plants. So I'd march off to the nursery and find some pink and white plants. And then she'd tell me where she wanted me to plant them. And then from there on, you know, our friendship just kept on developing. And like I said, now, you know, she's having me write these books for kids, you know, and to develop these kits that are part of our fairy art classes. And I want to share one other kit with us, with the listeners here, and that's about the magic mirror. The magic mirror is a mirror that builds self-esteem in children. And it is really quite magical. Now, you know fairies don't use mirrors. They use mm-hmm. water to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
But humans can use mirrors. And I wanted to share something. It's a message from Queen Dee for you, Donna.
Oh,
that I'd like to share with you and to the rest of the listeners out there. So she says, Donna, the fairies in my kingdom wish to send you a great sparkle of fairy dust that is full of love and enchantment. And call us in any time you need a rainbow of colored light on any project that you're wishing to manifest. Take a crystal bowl of water, add a few flowers from your garden, and call me in. In a flash, I'll be there. Now touch and tap the water and make a wish. And request me to energize it and magnetize the energetics of what you intend. And poof, it will be done. Remember, though, when you're working with fairies, it's not about me, me, me. It's about helping others to be successful. It's about the we.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like the poof. I really like that. I like it. You know what? I have to share something cute with you. When the Disney movie, Sleeping Beauty came out, there were those three fairies. There was one very plump fairy, there was one thin fairy, and then there was another one. And the plump one really was sassy. And my husband said, she reminds me of you. That's you are. I have to share that. That's whimsical. That's one of the things I was looking forward to in doing the show with you, because there's just so much wonderful information. She said, yep, that's you. They'd captured you. You're just this sassy little thing that's out there flying around. Anyway, we have had just a delightful time. For those of you listening, I encourage you to go to Cindy McGonigal's website, and her name is spelled CindyMcGonagle.com. The tea recipes that she has are just wonderful, and I think you will find her not only a fascinating person, but she's got quite a bit of educational credentials behind her. This is a woman that has found a passion. both in metaphysics as well as any very practical aspects of living, and I'm just pleased that she was able to join me. Her book, Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe Book, is her second one, and you'll find out more about her other publications. Cindy, I know we're out of time. It has been a delight having you as a guest today, and I'm so pleased that we were able to share the different aspects of what your experiences have been and your palm reading talents and other things as well. Thank you for being my guest.
You are more than welcome. And I encourage everyone to have a deep relationship with the earth. Be the true caretaker of the earth where you live. That's how the fairies look at you. And just send love into the planet. Each time you plant a plant, put your hand over it and just say, I love you.
I agree. This is Donna Sebo, Cindy McGonigal, Queen Dee's Fairy Recipe Book. Check out our website, cindymcgonigal.com. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And if you want to call in and chat with me today, you're going to be able to do it by calling 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, I know we've got a caller on the line waiting. Caller, please be patient. I'll be with you in just a moment. I do want to let you know who's going to be on with me for the rest of the week. We're going to be talking with Michelle Sifunkiaus. I may not have said that exactly correctly, but it's close. We're going to be talking about useful information for everyday living, everything I wish I knew when I was younger. And then lithomancy. Have you ever heard of that term? Well, it's the art of stone reading. And we're going to be talking with the author, and we're going to be talking with the Delta Solution, or about the Delta Solution, with Patrick Robinson on Friday. This and much, much more, and my listing is going to be going up regarding my authors. If you want to find out, I've not yet finished it for this next month, but that should be done today, and it will be posted on BBS. You'll be able, at any time, at your leisure, you can go in and check and see who's coming up on the show, a little bit of about them, and then you'll have a, well, let's say, you'll have an option to be able to choose whatever is most interest to you. Meanwhile, let's show you how it's done on the Donna Sebo Show. All I need from you when you call in is your first name or your initial, and I'd love to know where you're calling in from, and then let me tell you what I perceive for you, and then you're welcome to ask me a question that is of interest to you. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being so patient and waiting. First name or initial,
Hi.
Please. Hi. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Alaska, and I'm a longtime friend of yours, 30 years, and I just want
to compliment you on everything,
and I do have a little bit of information for your viewers and experience that if you will allow me, I will tell them about the tree in my yard.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Okay, I was out gardening one year, and I was living on Fairview Loop Road in Alaska, in Wasilla, and I put a bunch of soil, and I worked so hard getting the soil refined, you know, getting out all the clumps and everything out of the soil, and when it was perfect, I must have worked for hours on there, and I was on my knees, and I kind of sat back on my knees a little bit, and I said, now, it is perfect for planting. All of a sudden, this tree started vibrating, and a billion, I kid you not, a billion and one seeds came out of this tree into this fresh soil that I was going to plant my flowers in. And I looked at this and I went, oh my God, I can't believe it. I said, okay, I'm going to make a deal with you, tree. I'm going to allow two or three plants from your seeds to grow in my beautifully arranged flower bed. However, you have got, you know, I'm going to take out all the seeds I can, but you know, and I'll allow these trees to grow as long as you allow my flowers to grow. And that was such a one-on-one with nature experience for me that I was totally astonished. So what do you think about that?
Well,
that's
not
a true experience. That really happened.
Yes, and that's not unusual, believe it or not. We have, in the area that I live in, a tree that I named the grandfather tree. And I don't often have the occasion to go by that tree anymore, but it's very, very old. It could be a good 150 years old. And for me, in the area that we're in the Pacific Northwest, it was logged out at one time. So a lot of these trees that have come back are not virgin trees, but they are trees that have been allowed to grow for a period of time, and they've attained a good height. And this tree is at least 120 feet in height, and its base is quite, quite large. And I'll never forget the times when I would walk by it, and there was just this overwhelming feeling that I needed to go over and to touch the tree. So you might say I was sort of a tree hugger, but I didn't think too much about it. But they actually will. Nature has a way of communicating with you and making you aware of things, and that's what I would feel every time I went by this one tree. And I've heard stories by different people. Now, yours is unique in its particular experience, but I do think there is that harmonic, and there is that awareness, and the trees are what keep us really well-balanced. The species are varied, and they each serve a purpose. And something I mentioned on my show just recently, it was a television program that I happened to watch, and it was relating to Yellowstone. And they had particular aspen trees that had just covered so much of the area in Yellowstone, and they had disappeared. And they had disappeared after the wolves were removed from the area. When the wolves were reintroduced to the area, the aspens started coming back. And there were researchers just on trees, not on the wolves, just on trees. They said, what's happening? Because we found that the trees had not had a disease or anything else. What it was is that the elk were killing the trees because the elk were not being forced to move. So they were using the aspen trees as a form of food. And so they literally were destroying forests of aspen. And so once they brought the wolves back in, then the aspens started coming back. The beavers that had been prevalent before had disappeared because the loss of the trees affected the water flows. Brought the trees back, the beavers started coming back, and all of this is documented. So we have this wonderful infrastructure that I think finally science is catching up with and saying, you know, a lot of these little fairy stories were not so wrong. And I think your experience was a very profound one, Jeannie. a very profound one. And I'd love to have you send me that in written form so I can include it in the book where I'm doing stories like this.
Oh, cool. I will do that. So
Would you please
have time for a question?
Sure do. Go right ahead. And I so appreciate you calling in and sharing that. That's marvelous.
Well, you know what, Donna? You've been such an awesome friend and nurturer. And, you know, I went through the breast cancer and everything. And you've just been so awesome to me. And I just want to thank that.
I'm just glad I was available to be able to do that for you, Jeannie. Because I know that was a very, very difficult time for you. And I so appreciate your calling in. What's your question for me?
Okay. What do you see in my immediate future?
Hard work. You've got a lot of paperwork you're going to be filling out, and you're going to be very, very busy. You're really going to wonder if you maybe have overstepped in anxiousness in trying to create some of the changes that you've wanted to have occur in your life, but it's happening very, very quickly. I think this month of June, it's just going to blow you away because you're going to have very little quiet time. You're really going to have to make a choice about having quiet time for yourself. You're going to need to make that a deliberate plan of action so that you are able to make the changes quickly, efficiently, and effectively and keep the balance for yourself physically, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. So be sure you keep that quiet time in there. But I'm seeing you working. I'm looking at you very, very busy. And you, again, you need to make sure you have that priority for yourself. You need to have that quiet time. And you're the one that's going to be in charge in making that a mandate in your life.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome, and enjoy your summer in Alaska. I hope your summer is better than what we've had down here. We're in the 50s. Can you imagine that? This is summertime, and it's more of like the beginning of fall.
62 here today.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're in the same time zone there.
Right. Well, thank you, Donna. You are
welcome.
And you're just such a marvelous person. I'm just so happy that you've been so successful, and good luck to you in the future.
Thank you very much, Jeannie. I appreciate your calling in and being so gracious. Thank you very, very much.
Okay. Thank you.
You're Bye-bye. Welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo, and if you want to call in, 888-815-9756 is our toll-free worldwide number, so you can call in. I know we've got another caller. So there's a poem that I want to share with you later on in the show if I have the time. The Good New Day. I really like this because it's just delightful. I love poetry, don't you? It just makes you feel good. Let's take our next caller. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from, please?
Alice from Anchorage.
Hi, someone else from Anchorage,
Hi.
Alaska. Woohoo! One of my favorite places on the planet.
Oh, good.
All right, Alice, let me give you my information. Now, we're going to be going on to break pretty soon. Will you stay with me, and then we'll come back after break?
Okay.
All right, Alice. The first thing I'm looking at is there are some legal documents that you are going to need to work with, and there will be a necessity of seeking out the counsel of an attorney. I do want to caution you, you must be of the mindset to interview the attorney before you agree to engage them. You want to be able to talk to more than one attorney and find out their background and their level of expertise, because not all attorneys are created equal. It is exceedingly important that you pay attention to paperwork. You must be aware you have a time factor that has to be dealt with. You are going to find yourself commuting and being in meetings with people. It looks like a small group of people, could be two, maybe three max, but you must recognize that you have to be very practical, very, very analytical and linear in your thinking, in the sense of keeping your focus. You cannot go off into any fluff stuff here. You're dealing with facts, and you have to pay attention to protocols. You do that, and you're going to be just fine. If you don't do that, and you listen to someone that is close to you that thinks that you can take all kinds of shortcuts, you are going to be a very unhappy camper. There are no shortcuts to whatever this legal matter is involving. Pay attention to detail. Now, Alice, we're going to be taking a break. I want you to stay on the line, and when we finish with the break, we'll be coming back, and I'll take your question, okay?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back. And if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. My caller, Alice, if you're listening, call back in. Somehow or another, we got disconnected, and that can happen with the cell phones, etc. Let me just share with you this poem, because I think it is a very nice reflection of the good new day. And this was written by Ted Olson. None but the futile mourn the past, or waste their hours in vain berating. Each day is richer than the last. There are new worlds to conquer waiting. Through somber sunsets, lend a wan regret to pleasant days gone from us. The pilgrim stars go wheeling on, and dawns bring new dimensions of promise. The path that yesterday we trod was bright with blossom, sweet with clover. Yet there must be a richer sod where the horizon trail dips over. Onward and upward, mile on mile, deaf to the jibes, the mockers chorus, facing each hazard with a smile, till a new world lies wide before us. There is no going back. Why bind your swift pace with a phantom fetter? Forget the good old days behind. Go on and make the new ones better. Ted Olson. Make the new ones better. Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. Well, I wanted to share a story with you about a woman who did exactly what this poem stated. She made the new days better. Now, Shea Kelly is a woman that has a philosophy. She said, my philosophy in life is that you get what you give. All we really need to be happy is kindness. Now, this is Shea's philosophy. Shea happened to be out one evening, and she saw a man entering into a local shelter. He was limping. His disability that he had gotten from work, well, it caused him to eventually lose his job because he didn't have a job. He lost his home. He lost all of his possessions and ended up being a street person. Well, she was assisting at the shelter, and as she was handing him his meal, it was a hot meal, she very gently touched his hand, and the man just started to tear up. He said, "It's been years since anyone has touched me." And she thought, my goodness, just a small thing like touching someone, touching their hand with warmth and kindness. Wow, who would have thought it would have made that much difference? Well, when she was a kid growing up, one of her dreams had been to help people less fortunate than herself. And she said, "I'd always told myself that one day I'd be a wealthy philanthropist and I'd give back." Well, that was her dream when she was a youngster. She had been born and raised in Illinois. After she graduated from college, she was able to find an excellent job in Jackson, Mississippi. She just was doing all the things right. She was going up the corporate ladder. Wow, she was going to achieve her dream. Then, one day, her world came crashing down. She said there was a meeting that changed her life. The company had filed for bankruptcy. It had nothing to do with her. Her first thought is, how am I going to pay the rent? What do you think your first thought would have been? Well, she didn't want to burden her family. She said they already were going through so much. But on top of losing her job, her car was stolen. Good old Murphy's Law working in excellent, excellent patterning. So she just didn't know what to do. Well, she had a wonderful companion, a collie named Zuzu. So she decided she had to do some changing in her life, in her thinking. She was a woman of deep faith. She had a very strong attitude about the power of prayer. And she said, "I felt I needed to change what I was perceiving." She said, "I was totally focused on money." And she said, "I decided I wanted to focus on doing something in the way of work that had meaning to it." So instead of going for another corporate positioning, Shay decided she was going to do something else. And this is what she decided. She decided she'd travel across America collecting donations and helping the homeless. She developed a project called Project 5050. In fact, you can go to her website, project-5050.com. And she was hoping to visit every state in the union in as many weeks. So 50 states in 50 weeks. She said, "Boy, this was really crazy because I managed to pull together enough money to buy myself an 84 Ford for $2,000. I had only $83 to my name." And she said, "I'm really crazy, but I'm going to do it anyway." She joined Facebook. Support came pouring in. Do you know, people started sending her camping equipment, a camera. They even sent her food so she could start on her journey. So she set out from North Carolina on January the 1st with her loyal companion Zuzu, and she began going door to door. And she would stand outside of supermarkets holding a sign pleading, "Please help the homeless." She said she was amazed at what happened. People invited her for lunch. There were people that had been in the military, said, "Wow, this is really a great thing that you're doing." And what a special experience really touched her heart. She was treated to a dinner. She finds out after the meal, the man that paid for it was a man who was homeless himself. She said there were times I felt very lonely, and every Monday, Shay would cross over a new state line. The word got out about what she was doing. Shay volunteered in soup kitchens and food banks. Kindness met her over and over again. People opened their homes and their hearts. She would have places to stay. One couple paid for a mechanic when her car was on the fritz, or truck, rather. She got airline tickets to Alaska and Hawaii. People even sent heartworm medication for Zuzu when Zuzu needed it. She was amazed. So much communication was going on through Facebook. When she was looking for someone, in fact, there was a woman that asked her, "Can you help me find my son?" Do you know what? She actually found him. She said, "Your mom wanted you found." She got a picture, filmed a video, and sent them to the mother. And the mother, through Facebook, said, "Thank you for letting me know my boy's all right." Now, by the end of the year, she completed her mission, collecting and distributing more than 11,000 food items and $30,000 worth of socks, clothing, and toiletries. She said, "I just can't imagine doing anything else." This is Donna Sebo. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You're the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a magnificent day. And remember, you've got a magic, just like Fairy Dee and like Shay. But your magic is going to be done your way. God bless. We'll be talking with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on BBS Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.